This is New Horizons, the weekly program from Blind Citizens Australia, the united voice of blind and vision impaired Australians.
Ride our dreams down Future Road.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Pennison. This week we continue our theme of wayfinding from a slightly different perspective. We go back to the 2015 convention, which happened in Perth in early October of last year. Coming up shortly, we'll hear from Bashir Ibrahim with Guide Dogs Queensland about a very exciting project that's been happening in Queensland over the last couple of years. But firstly, let's hear from Amy Barrett-Leonard. Amy's an orientation and mobility specialist with Visibility in Western Australia.
Roughly 25% of Visibility's clients live in regional areas, and in the 2013 to the 2014 financial year, 2,818 people received services from us, but only 500 of these were in regional areas. So when you think that 25% of our clients are in regions, but only 500 out of almost 3,000 received services, there's a bit of a gap there, and it's obvious that people in regional areas don't have the same access or the same frequency of services as those in the metropolitan areas. So the WA Country Health Service acknowledged this challenge in their 2013 to 2014 annual report, noting higher costs associated with accommodation, transport, staff turnover and recruitment, and reduced service time lost to travel. And their key strategy in combating this challenge is telehealth, and that's using video conferencing as a platform to deliver various health services. And their end goal is for telehealth services to become standard practice for regional healthcare provision in WA. Which brings us rather neatly to the ROME project. So what is ROME? ROME stands for Remote Orientation and Mobility, and its foundations lie in the VidKids project. VidKids was a two-year project looking at delivering a range of allied health services via video conferencing to children with sensory impairment across rural and remote Australia. Someone involved in the VidKids project had the bright idea of, well, what about O&M? Would it be possible to deliver O&M services through video conferencing? So they conducted a first pilot last year in the eastern states just to start testing out some technology on the go in different environments and seeing how it all connected up. And there was some funding left over from the VidKids project, which was offered up, and Visibility was successful in securing this funding. And we conducted a second pilot between April and July of this year. I was heavily involved in that second pilot, and the pilot was surprisingly successful, and I was really impressed with the potential that this technology has. At the moment, we've got a really good method that we're happy with and we're going to continue trialing, and that involves the use of an iPhone 6 Plus, which gets clipped into a velocity clip, and that gets attached to a GoPro chest harness. So that can be worn by the client, and the angle can be adjusted according to what the O&M lesson is focusing on. So, for example, if you're looking at route travel and orientation to an area, the phone would be quite upright looking at the footpath ahead and the surrounding environment. If it's focused on cane training, you can angle the phone downwards to look at the client's lower body, their walking in relation to the cane, or alternatively, the harness and phone can be worn by a support person who's there supervising the session, so that the mobility instructor is able to see the client as a whole and how they're walking with their cane. So the role of the support person who is out there with the client is mainly to make sure that the client is safe and to provide additional information to the mobility instructor that the instructor might not be able to see through the video conferencing link up. So, for example, if there's roadworks ahead in the travel route and things like that. So the O&M instructor is pretty comfortable in their air-conditioned office. in front of a laptop, a desktop computer, anything like that. In terms of audio, so to ensure that the client's hearing all the instructions that they need to hear, we've opted to use bone conducting headphones. So rather than traditional earbuds which sit inside the ear or over the top of the ear, these headphones actually sit on the cheekbone just in front of the ear so that the ears aren't occluded to listening to environmental noises and all of the auditory information that's really important for orientation. We also utilise a range of different camera lenses which can be attached to the iPhone depending on how much the instructor needs to see. So, for example, if the client's working in an area that the instructor has been to before and has some familiarity with, you might be fine just to use the camera phone as it is. But if the client is in an area that the instructor has never seen before except on Google Maps, we would utilise a what's called a super fisheye lens, which gives about a 230-degree field of view to the instructor and just allows them to see a lot more of the environment and the layout of the streets and things like that. So we've successfully used this Roam method for a whole range of O&M services, really, ranging from cane training, route travel orientation, road crossings, indoor orientation in a busy shopping centre. And on Friday, I had my first Roam session with a client who has an ABI following a stroke up in Geraldton. So she is ambulating in an electronic wheelchair but is having some troubles with scanning and is quite worried about her road crossings. So we had the occupational therapist from our Geraldton office take the Roam equipment out and set up a session, and it went really well so far. To give you some results from that second pilot, which concluded in July, we completed 25 sessions of over 38 hours. We had 11 test subjects involved. Six of these were clients. Their ages ranged from 13 to 60. And the environments we conducted sessions in included a number of metropolitan suburbs, Broome, Bunbury, Kununurra, and Fitzroy Crossing. And in none of those places did we have any issues with connection or not being able to hear each other clearly. It was all really good. We have been successful in securing more funding through the Disability Services Commission to continue this project for another 2 years. And we're really excited about where it might go and getting as many clients on board as possible. And ultimately, we just hope that this will allow us to provide more specialist O&M services to a wider range of clients, particularly in those regional areas that can be a bit harder for us to get to.
Amy Barrett-Leonard, who's an orientation and mobility specialist and occupational therapist with Visibility in Western Australia. Now let's go to the other side of the country. Here's Bashir Ibrahim from Guide Dogs Queensland.
In Brisbane itself, there is what we call the Queen Street Mall Braille Trail, and that's the longest trail in Australia, continuous 1.6 kilometres, continuous trail, all interlinked. There were three options that we looked at, and one of the reasons of wayfinding was how does information get to people who are travelling through open space, malls, shopping centres, indoor environments where perhaps the GPS range isn't that great or not available at all. So therefore, we looked at a number of systems. The Step Here system was the one that was chosen for the trial, and it is actually a square box with three buttons on it. First button's got a one dot, second button's got two, the third one's got three dots. The activator has three buttons, first button in a triangular shape at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock the second button, and at 9 o'clock is the third button, and they have raised dots on those as well, plus a little triangular button in the bottom right-hand corner of the front face, which turns the device on or off. When you push a particular button, button number one, it plays a message, button two plays another message, button three plays the third message if you so want to have three different levels of messages. Up to 10 minutes of information can be recorded on any one sign in a cumulative fashion, and the information is basically whatever you want to convey. The location can vary, so they can be on the side of a bus, it can be on the side of a vending machine, it can be up in the roof or the awning, and so on. So there are a number of different placements that you can locate these particular signs. So what we did was the trial in 2013, December, we had 9 mains-powered signs installed, 27 participants from all different levels of mobility, and basically we received overwhelming endorsement for the nature of the information provided and the concept of this step here, talking signs. The whole of the group trial included, again, as I mentioned, 27 vision-impaired and blind participants. Wrist activators were allocated to each of those participants, and an additional short-term participant group in group 2 were also seconded to the trial. So we had something like 52 people in the trial participant group in total. The Braille Trail itself features a pavement system, tactile indicators, you know, the directionals and the hazard tiles. I mentioned before 1.6 kilometres of continuous travel. While the trail provides a clear, distinguishable path of travel through space, it offers vision-impaired and blind pedestrians very few clues as to where you are actually in that environment. So there's no information associated with that trail. So orientation while on the trail was raised by the asset owner, Brisbane City Council, and so we looked at a joint project in terms of finding solutions for wayfinding to enhance the experience of travellers through that precinct. So we looked at commercial and performance and garden space areas that were covered, and the technical specifications that we had a look at. So each step here sign itself has a recorded message. We only recorded one of three possible messages. So message one included a statement giving your exact location on the trail or in that vicinity. Message number two expanded on that message and gave you detailed wayfinding information that was relevant to where you were and where you could go within that area, north, south, east and west and so on, and plus some landmark information as well. Each sign has a radio frequency around it. The sign can be adjusted to a 3 to 5, 5 to 7 or 7 to 9 metre range. So again, the noise pollution can be reduced to on-call personal activation. So it would be very rare that you might have the sign going off every 2 seconds. And so this was a selling point for them all. Volumes can also be adjusted, but the system itself has an ambient noise detection where the volume of the message will be detected and raised according to what ambient traffic and pedestrian and mall sounds there are in that particular vicinity. The activator itself can be audio and it can be tactile as well. So you can have the... I'll just turn it on. You'll hear it in the... So, and you might be able to hear a vibration as well. Or if you don't want to have the beeping going, that's the tactile signal if you're going in stealth mode. It's detected a sign because there's one right near me. So it will pick it up. If there's nothing there, it won't detect anything. So you can actually move through your environment as you go. Feedback from participants strongly favourable, with the audio messages broadcast by the signs. Both location and wayfinding information was found very useful. Few exceptions. Participants indicated that they would find the permanent installation of signs of great value, giving confidence while travelling independently as a pedestrian in these environments.
That was Bashir Ibrahim from Guide Dogs Queensland, bringing to an end this edition of New Horizons. I do hope you've enjoyed it. If you've got any comments, then by all means contact BCA. Details at the end of the program. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Until next week, take care. To contact Blind Citizens Australia about this program or any other issue, call 1-800-033-660. That's 1-800-033-660. Or email bca@bca.org.au. This program is also available on the website at bca.org.au.